Help us to commence this evening by singing hymn 927. 927. Thou only sovereign of my heart, my refuge, my almighty friend, and can my soul from thee depart, on whom alone my hopes depend. Hymn 927.
Thank you. the Lord help us to read from his holy word the prophecy of Isaiah, chapter 43 and part of 44. The book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 43. But now, thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Saviour. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honourable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee, and people for thy life. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east, and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far, and my daughters from the ends of the earth, even every one that is called by my name. For I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him. Bring forth the blind people that have eyes, and the deaf that have ears. Let all the nations be gathered together, and let the people be assembled. Who among them can declare this, and show us former things? Let them bring forth their witnesses, that they may be justified. Or let them hear and say, it is truth. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me, and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Saviour. I have declared and have saved and I have shown, when there was no strange God among you. Therefore ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God. Yea, before the day was, I am he, and there is none that can deliver out of my hand. I will work, and who shall let it? Thus saith the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. For your sake I have sent to Babylon, and have brought down all their nobles and the Chaldeans, whose cry is in the ships. I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Thus saith the Lord, which maketh a way in the sea, and a path in the mighty waters, which bringeth forth the chariot and horse, the army and the power. They shall lie down together, they shall not rise. They are extinct, they are quenched as tow. Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The beast of the field shall honour me, the dragons and the owls, because I give waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to my people, my chosen. This people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise. But thou hast not called upon me, O Jacob, but thou hast been weary of me, O Israel. Thou hast not brought me the small cattle of thy burnt offerings, neither hast thou honoured me with thy sacrifices. I have not caused thee to serve with an offering, nor wearied thee with incense. Thou hast bought me no sweet cane with money, neither hast thou filled me with the fat of thy sacrifices. But thou hast made me to serve with thy sins. Thou hast wearied me with thine iniquities. I, even I, am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake, and will not remember thy sins. Put me in remembrance. Let us plead together. Declare thou that thou mayest be justified. Thy first father hath sinned, and thy teachers have transgressed against me. Therefore I have profaned the princes of the sanctuary, and have given Jacob to the curse, and Israel to reproaches. Verse 21 in chapter 44. Remember these, O Jacob and Israel, for thou art my servant. I have formed thee. Thou art my servant. O Israel, thou shalt not be forgotten of me. I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, and as a cloud thy sins. Return unto me, for I have redeemed thee. Sing, O ye heavens, for the Lord hath done it. Shout, ye lower parts of the earth. Break forth into singing, ye mountains, O forest, and every tree therein. For the Lord hath redeemed Jacob, and glorified himself in Israel. Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, and he that formed thee from the womb, I am the Lord that maketh all things, that stretcheth forth the heavens alone, that spreadeth abroad the earth by myself, that frustrateth the tokens of the liars, and maketh diviners mad, that turneth wise men backward, and maketh their knowledge foolish, that confirmeth the word of his servant, and performeth the counsel of his messengers, that saith to Jerusalem, thou shalt be inhabited, and to the cities of Judah ye shall be built, and I will raise up the decayed places thereof, that saith to the deep, be dry, and I will dry up thy rivers, that saith of Cyrus, he is my shepherd, and shall perform all my pleasure, even saying to Jerusalem, thou shalt be built, and to the temple thy foundation shall be laid. Amen. May the Lord bless to us his word, and grant us each prayer. O Lord, do have mercy on us, we beseech thee, and enable us now to draw near to thee, not with our mouths only, but with our heart. Draw me, and we will run after thee. May we know tonight what we read in thy word, the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that is athirst come. and whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Oh, may we so blessedly be enabled. Lord, without thee we can do nothing. We certainly cannot take that water of life freely. Lord, thou canst enable us. Thou canst overcome, Lord, all our legality. Thou canst cause us to drop everything out of our hands that we are trying to bring. And Lord, that we may, and thou canst enable us, Lord, to receive into our heart the blessings of thy grace freely. The Saviour died, and by his blood brought rebel sinners near to God. He died to set the captives free and save my soul. Why not for thee? Oh, may thy people here this evening be richly blessed. May they hear thy voice. Oh, Lord, may we be favoured to feel before we leave this place tonight that this is the house of God, the very gate of heaven. Make it thy sanctuary, Lord. Oh, yea, come into our hearts. Make thy dwelling place there. Enter thyself and cast out the sin and the fears and the doubts and every hindrance. Lord, crucify this self that I no more but Christ might in me live. Oh, we marvel at thy long-suffering forbearance with us. We thank thee for thy tender mercies and thy compassions which are new every morning and thy great faithfulness, thy compassions which fail not. Lord, we plead for compassion this evening. If thou canst do anything for us, have compassion upon us and help us. Lord, do hear the petitions of thy people, uttered or unexpressed, and do more for us than we ask or even think. Bless us with true gratitude. We thank thee, Lord, for the gospel. And knowest those here this evening who can really say, at times at least, the gospel bears my spirit up. A faithful and unchanging God lays the foundation of my hope in oaths and promises and blood. Oh, we do pray that thy name may be glorified here this evening. Lord, only thou canst do it. And thou didst tell thy Son, Lord, that thou wouldst do it. I will glorify it again. O Lord, do be pleased to glorify thy name here in the Swavesey Chapel this evening. Be pleased to glorify thy name in us. Lord, saving us by thy grace, making us manifestly new creatures. Lord, we pray to be clothed in thy righteousness, that we may be among those of whom thy word says, and she shall be called Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. Lord, do grant food convenient for each one. And that can only be, Lord, thy own broken body and shed blood. Lord, this is the food convenient for each of thy people. Oh, do grant each a portion. Lord, we would be found in that humble position and in that humble spirit, the dear woman of old. Yes, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs that fall from their master's table. Lord, we hope we are beneath the master's table this evening. Oh, may we be favoured with some crumbs, a crumb of mercy. And do help this people in all that they are now walking through. And we pray, Lord, for them in their afflictions, in trials and tribulations. We ask for help for each one. Especially at this time, we pray for our friend in hospital, so grievously afflicted. Oh Lord, thou hast caused it to come, and thou knowest the purpose, thy purpose in it. And we thank thee for that truth, that thou dost in thy people's cases cause it to come for mercy, for correction, for thy land. O Lord, do then grant thy help to our dear friend. Be with him, Lord, in hospital. Uphold him, Lord, under all the weakness and pain, and, Lord, the solemnity. Lord, we pray that thou wouldst draw near and speak with power to his soul. Thou wouldst bless him with that stillness, knowing that thou art his God. Oh, may this favour be granted. And sanctify these things to each in the family, in this congregation, and all of us. Lord, we pray that thou wouldst, if it might please thee, spare and restore, but whatever thy will, may thy blessing be granted. Lord, do give wisdom and skill to all those that have the cases of thy people in their hands. Lord, they are in thy hands. Oh, do then guide each heart and mind and hand in all these things. Thou hast said, and we've read it again this evening, I will work, and who shall let it? Oh, do let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto their children. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us. We seek, Lord, for thy servants, those that labour this night in word and doctrine. Be their sufficiency, make them faithful, and oh, do crown thy gospel with success. We pray for thy servants in affliction. We seek, Lord, thou wouldst in mercy put thy healing hand upon them, if it might please thee, and restore them in thy time to stand again upon the walls of Zion. Lord, oh, that they might be blessed in their own souls. Lord, and that in being thus blessed, as it might please thee to spare them and enable them to go forth again, it may be, Lord, as witnesses again of thy continued faithfulness, thy power to uphold, thy mercy to save. Lord, have mercy on us each, and on our guilty land, have mercy on us. And on Zion, Lord, do pour out thy Spirit. Forgive now all we ask amiss, and all our many sins. And do, Lord, help us as we turn to thy word. We ask for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Let us now sing hymn 1097. 1097. A refuge for sinners the gospel makes known. 'Tis found in the merits of Jesus alone. The weary, the tempted, and burdened by sin were never exempted from entering therein. Hymn 1097.
Thank you.
in dependence on the Lord, I venture to direct you this evening to the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 44. Verse 22. Isaiah chapter 44, verse 22. I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, and as a cloud thy sins. Return unto me, for I have redeemed thee. In the context, I'll read again to you the 21st verse. Remember these, O Jacob and Israel, for thou art my servant. I have formed thee. Thou art my servant, O Israel. Thou shalt not be forgotten of me. In the wonderful covenant of God's grace, each one of his people are made his servants. But they do not serve him as those under the law do. They serve him not in working for him. No. That beautiful piece in the Gospel Standard this month, that dear godly Scotswoman, she would not have it that she was a servant of the Lord, but continually emphasized how her Lord so graciously served her. I am among you as one that serveth. And the effect of that is that his people serve him. The love. You know, every one of the Lord's servants serve him in love. And it's his love. And they serve him in faith, and it's his faith. And they serve him in his godly fear, and it's his godly fear. Well, the last couple of days, the Lord has laid on my spirit this subject, forgiveness. And there is no more important subject. There is no more blessed thing than God's forgiveness of his people's sins. That is, when it is God's forgiveness of my sins, your sins, child of God. How awful it is when we feel to be in that condition of guilt and misery, and know from the word of God that God does forgive the sins of his people, but you don't feel he's forgiven yours. Oh, how you envy those people. But the Lord who convinces you of that sin and makes you to say with David, against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. From time to time, does he not, or will he not, bring you to walk that path that the Apostle John set forth? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And what a clear and most blessed way the Lord takes in expressing what he has done with his people's sins. We have here a statement of the Almighty, not what he will do, but what he has done. I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions. You see, he did this firstly from all eternity. Because from all eternity, that covenant was entered into by the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, whereby the sins of the whole church should be imputed to Christ, that he should suffer, bleed, and die for their sins, and his spotless righteousness should be accounted to them. Now, as it was a covenant made by God, though it was not actually done yet at that time, it was, because it was the word, the covenant of Almighty God. We know that there was an appointed time, and you see, and I tried to speak from it a few weeks ago. Father, the hour is come. The hour that was set out in the covenant of grace. The hour when Christ should bear his people's sins in his own body on the tree. The hour when he should suffer, bleed and die for their transgressions. Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that he also may glorify thee. I have blotted out as a thick cloud. The Lord has done it. No one else could do it. The sins, the transgressions are against him. Therefore they are immeasurable. Dear John Kent says, doesn't he? And perhaps it's a word to someone here or more than one here this evening. Are thy sins beyond recounting? Yes, the convinced sinner says. Like the mountains for their size? Yes, the convinced sinner says. Jesus is of life the fountain. He unto the utmost saves. I have. Almighty God. You see, no one can forgive but the person who has been sinned against. It's a wonderful thing, you know, when real forgiveness is given to us concerning someone that has sinned against us. And we are bidden in the words of the Lord, aren't we? To confess our faults one to another. And the Lord says that when we come to the altar, that is to the Lord Jesus Christ himself, who is the altar, and we remember that our brother have anything against us, we go and be reconciled to our brother and then come to the altar. For he says, if ye do not forgive your brother, neither will your heavenly Father forgive you. But the point I was setting forth here really was that only the person that is sinned against can forgive. And we know, don't we, you children, I hope you know what it is to realize you have sinned against your parent in the sense that you have disobeyed them, or perhaps you've said something to them that you ought not to have done. What a blessed thing it is when you're enabled to go and confess it, and how pleased your father or mother is to see you come and see that real remorse on your face and hear it in your voice, and how pleased they are to say to you, in effect, I forgive you. It has to be obtained, doesn't it? Even with regard to forgiveness between people, it is quite wrong to assume it. And if you're really troubled, you won't be able to rest. There will be, in your own soul's feelings and in your mind, a sense of something being dreadfully wrong. Oh, that we had more of this spirit about us, my dear friend. That when we've done wrong, to feel how serious it is, and to, without delay, seek that that matter may be put right. And this is how it is when the Lord convinces his people of their sin. There is nothing more seriously wrong than that, is there? When David was convinced of his sin, when Nathan said to him, thou art the man, there wasn't a greater matter in David's life. He was the king of Israel. Undoubtedly had so many matters of state to attend to, apart from his own personal matters and his own personal house. But oh, when Nathan had said, thou art the man, there was only one thing. And the Lord brought him to say, I've sinned against the Lord. And the Lord said, through Nathan, I have put away thy sin, thou shalt not die. I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions. Why? Why has he done it? Israel is his people. The nation Israel, clearly we know from the word of God, it's not all Israel. That is, it's not all the Israel of God. But it represents the whole church of God, the family of God, whom he loves with an everlasting love. My dear friends, the foundation of forgiveness is love. He said to Jeremiah, I have loved thee with an everlasting love, therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. That's the answer to the question why. But there are secondary answers to it. You remember I quoted just now the words of the Lord Jesus, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. God is more glorified in the forgiveness of the sins of his people than by any other work. And why is that? Because the forgiveness of sins is the greatest work that God could ever do. It was a work he couldn't do only by speaking the words. He does speak the words in our text. But do you remember the account of the boy that with his football had broken the neighbour's window? And he went and confessed it to his father, and his father said, well, you've got to go round there and apologise. And he did. He said to the neighbour, I'm sorry, I've broken your window. And the neighbour said, I forgive you, but the window's got to be paid for. The boy went back home and told his father. His father, knowing the boy couldn't pay for it, he said he would pay for it. It had to be paid for. How was forgiveness paid for? The precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ was shed to blot out the sins of the church. I'll put things as simply as I can. In the Word of God, scarlet crimson is the colour used by God to speak of his people's sins. That wonderful word in the beginning of this prophecy. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. When the dear Redeemer appeared in the judgment hall before Caiaphas and so on, one of the things they did to him, which was clearly overruled by Almighty God, really, in effect, they were instructed by Almighty God to do it, though they didn't realize it, was to clothe him in a scarlet or crimson robe. And that clearly sets forth how he had the sins, the scarlet sins of his people, imputed to them. You children, you young ones, scarlet and crimson are the most difficult dyes to remove from a material. My dear friend, do you know what it is to prove that in your soul's experience? That your sins will not be removed by any method of yours. Job said, didn't he, though I wash my hands with snow water, so that they be never so clean, yet wilt thou, Almighty God, plunge me in the ditch, so that my own clothes abhor me. Have you got sins this evening, my dear friend, that you have tried all you can to erase from your mind, erase from your memory? Have you got sins that you've tried all you can to stop committing? And you've failed. You're proving what the scripture says. I have blotted out the blood that blots out the scarlet crimson dyed sins. The colour, the same colour. Surely there is significance in this. The word of God, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Go back to the Garden of Eden and our fallen first parents. The first deaths that happened in this world with the deaths of those beasts. God slew them, shed their blood, and took their skins and made coats for Adam and Eve and put those coats upon them. What had Adam and Eve tried to do to cover themselves? They had made aprons from fig leaves. It was the work of their own hands. And an apron isn't enough, is it? From the sole of the feet to the crown of the head, we are covered with wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. There is no part clean, defiled throughout. I have blotted out with the precious blood of my dear son. The Lord lead us on a little in considering this. I have blotted out. My son, God, will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. I have done it. The Father sent his son to die. The willing son obeyed. The Holy Ghost, the witness thou. To ratify the purchase Christ has made. I have blotted them out. I have imputed them to my dear son. Who could do that? Only God. Jehovah's eternal and co-equal son took all our transgressions. He hath laid upon him, says Isaiah, the iniquity of us all. And I often point out when I quote that verse from Isaiah, the full verse says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. That's our condition. And what I point out is this, and I'll point it out to you again tonight. There is nothing between that statement and the next which says, but he hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all. Sovereign grace, mercy, compassion, pity, love. He doesn't do it because of anything the sinner does. That's what I'm emphasizing. Nothing between the two statements. It isn't that the sinner has of themselves changed. It isn't that the sinner has of themselves repented. No. The ground of forgiveness is God's mere mercy. Nothing else but his mercy. And that mercy, the hymn writer said, may I sit forever viewing mercy's streams in streams of blood. And this word blotted out, what a strong word it is, blotted out. There's another scripture that speaks of this complete removal, complete hiding. It never be seen. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. But what blotted them out? Those sufferings of the incarnate Son of God. You know, when the Saviour was suffering, the tremendousness, the infinity of what was being done, and the depths of the sufferings of the Redeemer, there was a token of it in that the sun was darkened. The Saviour was in that dark place. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? The sun hid its face. The created sun hid its face before her Maker, as her Maker was dying for his people's sins. Well might the sun hide its face when God, our mighty Maker, died for man, the creature's sin. I have blotted out. When Christ suffered for those sins, when he died for those sins, when the cup of God's wrath for those sins was drunk to the very dregs, drained so there's not a drop left in the cup, how could those sins be any other than blotted out? God has blotted them out. The person who died, 'twas our Creator for us bled. Yes, he took our nature without sin, but he was still our Creator. That's your only hope, my dear friend. Is the one here this evening and you say, how can my enormous sins be forgiven? But the man who died on Calvary's cross is the Almighty God. Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? I have blotted out as a thick cloud. As a thick cloud. He clearly means as hidden behind a thick cloud. You know how it is. And we have had a few days like it recently, haven't we? Certainly down our way. And we haven't seen the sun. It's been blotted out behind clouds. Job speaks of it, doesn't he? In the book of Job. And now men see not the bright light that is in the clouds, but the wind passeth and purgeth them. Blotted out as a thick cloud. Invisible, out of sight. Out of God's sight. Their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now, of course, that doesn't mean that God doesn't see when you commit sin. He does. And that's how he convinces you, and that's what makes you tremble, isn't it? Child of God. You know that he sees your sins. That is, he sees what you actually do, what you actually think. And what you actually don't do, and what you don't think. He hears what you say, and he hears what you don't say. Sins of omission and sins of commission. But in the cases of his people, when he sees those sins, he doesn't see them as things which he must penally punish. That would mean sending us to hell. But he sees them as things that he must chasten us for. And in chastening, he has only one end in view. We have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. They chastened us for their pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. That we might, as a guilty sinner, come to Christ and obtain Christ as our righteousness, our holiness, and obtain the forgiveness, the cleansing of our souls in his precious blood. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. If you are corrected for your sin, it is because he loves you. You say, how shall I know whether I'm being corrected for my sin? Well, the word of God gives the answer, and I've just mentioned it. Does that correction for your sin, does that conviction for your sin bring you to Christ? And this is not something which only happens in the beginning of a child of God's experience. We need it every day, my dear friend. Because every day we do things which we ought not to. We are continual sinners. Well, might the hymn writers say, daily I would repent of sin. Daily I would wash in Calvary's blood. Daily feel thy peace within. Daily I'd commune with God. I've blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, and as a cloud thy sins. There is rather something to me mysterious in the way the Lord distinguishes here in this text. I don't feel that we really need to try to delve into what this signifies, the difference between transgressions, which we understand to be sin. The transgression means the breaking of a law, and that is sin. So I will not attempt to give you any explanation whatever for the distinction between transgressions and a thick cloud and sins as a cloud. We have no need to trouble ourselves on this point, because the whole scripture speaks of every single one of the Lord's people's transgressions and sins and iniquities being equally blotted out. It certainly isn't true, is it, that some of our faults need a thick cloud and some of them a cloud? No. So there we leave that point. But this point here, return unto me, for I have redeemed thee. So the Lord here, in setting before Israel, the whole Israel of God, every one of his people, that he has blotted out their transgressions as a thick cloud, he is saying, on that ground, because of that, return unto me. Isn't this the gospel? Isn't this the only way? Didn't the Lord Jesus speak of this when he said, I am the way, no man cometh unto the Father but by me? And poor, sensible, guilty sinner in this congregation this evening, doesn't the Lord make you to feel that unless his word proclaimed forgiveness of sins, you could not go unto him? If thou, Lord, wert strict to mark iniquity, who should stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. This means that all returning unto the Lord is altogether of grace. It means that the returning sinner comes, and you can't return unto the Lord in any other way. The returning sinner comes pleading his own grace, pleading the precious blood of his dear Son. The two debtors in the Lord's parable, a 50 pence and a 500 pence debtor. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them all. Oh, how that dear woman that was instrumentally the thing that led him to give that parable. How she was one of these. I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions. Like you and me, my dear friend, she needed a thick cloud. To blot out our transgressions. She was a notorious sinner. All those words which were spoken by Simon in derision. But how many sinners down through the generations have been thankful that he uttered those words, for she is a sinner. But you see, she returned unto the Lord. She returned unto the Lord. We spoke earlier of Adam and Eve. What blessed communion they had with the Lord. And the Lord came and made a way for them to return. What wondrous grace. He might have said to Adam and Eve, mightn't he, I did warn you, and you disobeyed me. You can never come to me again. You and I are separated forever. But he couldn't say that, because he'd already, as I said at the outset this evening, he had already blotted out their transgressions. He had already fixed their standing in Christ Jesus. And on that ground, he says, return unto me. Oh, when the Lord says this to a poor sinner, the effect is they do return. I was speaking earlier, wasn't there, an illustration of a child that has offended a parent, and there's a distance between the child and the parent. When that forgiveness is given. Oh, what love is manifested. Especially, I might say, where that parent is a God-fearing person, where that parent who knows something of the truth of our text, when that parent knows what a sinner they are themselves. Oh, when they see their children sin, oh, they yearn over them. Grieve. Part of the grief is that child is my child. I have passed on my sinfulness to that child. And the sweetest part in these things, in a natural way, my dear friend, is if these things are used by the Lord to lead us higher. You know, it's precious, it's blessed. Whatever the Lord uses in our natural lives, sanctifies it and uses it to bring himself before us. and bring his blessed gospel before us, and raise our souls above this ground that we so cleave to. Return unto me. For I have redeemed thee. The damage has been paid for. The ransom price has been found. I have found a ransom. Deliver him from going down into the pit. I have redeemed thee. You have not to come with your ransom price. Oh, as we come to a close this evening, the Lord help us. Oh, the blessed Spirit take us and lead us into these blessed truths. And it's like this, my dear friend. The Lord, when he says this, I have redeemed thee. It is so wonderful. It is so blessed. Have you not been trying to redeem yourself? And am I speaking to someone here this evening? And you're brought to the place. Whatever I try, it doesn't redeem me at all. It only puts me deeper into debt. It only binds me faster into the hands of this one whom I've sold myself to. Why is that? Because all your doings are sins. So everything you do to try to redeem yourself has the opposite effect of redeeming you, because everything you do is sin. I have redeemed thee. I have redeemed thee. The dear Lamb of God, the redeeming Lamb, he did no sin, neither was any guile found in his mouth. He is incarnate God. His humanity, it is not descended by natural generation from Adam and Eve. He has not inherited in his human nature sin in any shape, form, or possibility. He alone is capable, blessedly capable. He alone is willing. He alone is able to redeem. He is because he is God. He is because in union with his Godhead, he took a perfect, sinless, immaculate humanity. The union of the two natures. I have redeemed thee. You see, what he did, only God in our nature could do. What he suffered, only God in our nature could suffer. In his stand against the devil, only God in our nature could stand against him. I have redeemed thee. Are you grieving tonight because your desires are so poor, so few? Sometimes you don't seem to have any. Top lady said, could my zeal no respite know? Could my tears forever flow? All for sin could not atone. Thou must slave and thou alone. Are you grieving tonight? Your prayers are so poor and they're getting poorer and poorer and poorer. And you feel perhaps so come tonight to the place. You wonder whether you pray at all. Those groans, those sighs. But they don't redeem you. They don't redeem you. Nothing less than the precious blood of Jesus can redeem you. You come to that point tonight, I feel to be destitute of faith. I don't feel to have any faith. I have redeemed thee. You know that woman I mentioned earlier? I think it was in prayer, the woman whom the Lord said, O woman, great is thy faith. Did she think it was great? No. How did the Lord measure the greatness of her faith? It was how low she considered herself to be, and how highly she valued him, how highly she trusted in him. I have redeemed thee. I try and put it like this, my dear friend. There's many other things I might have said, but the time is almost gone. When the Lord tells a poor sinner he has redeemed them, he causes them to venture wholly on his word that he has redeemed. I expect some of you have read the book, The Experience of That Godly Woman, May Shaler of Oxford. And she speaks there of that day when the atonement of Jesus Christ was preached to her. The entirety of it, the soulness of it, the completeness of it, the freeness of it. And she speaks of how the Holy Spirit, as it were, as he set it before her, he bade her take that step of faith. And she speaks of that enabling by the Holy Spirit to step out of self and venture wholly on that atonement. And she says, when I did, all the blessings of that atonement flowed into my soul. There's a hymn, isn't there? And on the ground of this word here, I have redeemed thee. Venture on him, venture wholly, let no other trust intrude. Now, how crucifying this is to our flesh. And you see, the only way we can be crucified and be saved in being crucified is to be crucified with Christ. It's by his death that his people are crucified. Paul writes at the beginning of Romans 7, the woman which hath an husband is bound by the law to her husband as long as he liveth. If her husband be dead, she's free from that law. She may be married to another. So, brethren, ye are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye might be married to another, even to him who is risen from the dead. It's faith. When the Lord says, I have redeemed thee. And there's no reason in you why he should. He's not rewarding you for anything you've done. He's not acknowledging any goodness in you. No, he's doing it out of his goodness alone. I've redeemed thee. What does it mean? It says elsewhere in these portions we've read this evening, thou art mine. Thou art mine. Return unto me because thou art mine. You're not the devil's. You're not your own. You're not the wife of these other lovers you've gone after. You're mine. Return unto me, for I have redeemed thee. Well, may the Lord bless his word. I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgression. The efficacy of the Saviour's precious blood to blot out transgressions. All manner of sin and of blasphemy should be forgiven unto men. It just comes to me like this. You know what I said just now about not being able to distinguish, to determine the meaning of this statement here regarding the thick cloud and the cloud. We observe that all his people's sins need this thick cloud. It just comes to me now. He not only blots out the transgressions, that is, your past offences and my past offences. He blots out the sin that is now in us, the very sin of our nature. And you see, that's how it is. Why do we keep saying and thinking, I've got to be better before I can be saved. I've got to be gracious before I can be saved. It's because we need this convincing by the Lord that both our transgressions which we have committed, the sins which we have committed, and the very sin of our nature now, the very unbelief of our nature now, the very hardness of our heart now, the very lack of love now, the Lord has blotted that out too. What does it mean? Well, that hymn on the fountain, you can't come too filthy. Come just as you are. Are you saying tonight, if I had stronger desires, if I had better prayers, or if I had real repentance? Well, none of those things would be mediators for you. There is one mediator, Jesus Christ. Sinner, may you and I venture on him and venture wholly and let no other trust intrude. What a wonderful eternity lies before these sinners whose sins are blotted out. Not the eternity they deserved in hell, but the eternity bought for them by the precious blood. And what will they be singing in that eternity? Worthy the Lamb, for he was slain for my transgressions, blotted out thy transgressions. Amen.
God willing, there will be a prayer meeting for church members on Friday evening at 8 o'clock. Mr. Tim Parrish is expected to preach next Lord's Day, and Mr. Gilbert Hyde next Tuesday evening. Let us close with hymn 175. 175. Christ is my all, my sure defence, nor shall my soul depart from thence. He is my rock, my refuge too, in spite of all my foes can do. Hymn 175.
Thank thee for thy word and all that couches beneath. We ask thy blessing. Oh, do favour thy people with the sweet assurance of it. Forgive everything amiss and grant us thy safekeeping. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God, the communion of the Holy Spirit, for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.